We see that Scott Brown seems to be doing quite well in Massachusetts, but other Republicans are more questionable. Selwyn Duke joins us now to tell us why you should forget Sarah Palin.
Hi, Michael. Great to be with you again, and a belated Happy New Year to you and your audience. Michael, everybody's been talking a lot about Sarah Palin lately, as you know, and she's often billed as the last best hope of the GOP. But in all the talk about her, I'm not seeing much rationality. Instead, it's just so often the case that people either love her or they hate her. They think she's the cat's meow or the pig with lipstick. Well, I'm in neither camp. Look, if we scrape away all the emotionalism, we realize that Palin isn't at either extreme. She's underestimated by the left, yes, but she's also overestimated by the right. And where does the truth lie? Well, somewhere in between. But where exactly is secondary? Because there's a more important point here, one relating to Palin's political future. She doesn't have one. Now, I know this will raise the hackles of many, but the right should not pin its hopes on Sarah Palin. And I don't say this because of defects in ideology or a lack of competency. It's not that. I say it for a very simple reason. She has been quailed.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Now, many know that I'm referring to former Vice President Dan Quayle and the infamous potato affair in 1992. What happened was, he gave a public appearance at a school spelling bee in Trenton, New Jersey, and he was given a cue card with the word potato spelled with an E at the end of it. Well, he doubted the spelling, but he had to trust the school material, so he corrected a student who had spelled the word properly. Now, it wasn't exactly Al Gore in saying a leopard can't change his stripes, but it didn't matter. The media seized upon it, and they pounded home the narrative that the vice president was a mental vegetable who couldn't even spell his own kind. And you know what? It was darn easy to make the image stick. Quayle was blonde, attractive, and relatively young, so he fit a Ken doll stereotype. Now, was it fair? No. But what does the public see? It sees the picture the media paints of you. So, being quailed is a version of being borked. The difference is that the media doesn't paint you as a menace, but a moron.
And Quayle is an intelligent. He is, I mean, he shredded Al Gore in the 1992 debate, but he never could live down the label.
No, he couldn't, Michael. And Sarah Palin has suffered the exact same fate. Look, like Quayle, she's attractive and relatively young. She can easily be and has been painted as a Barbie doll. And because of this, unlike Hillary Clinton, she actually had to be the smartest woman in the world. Or at least in contemporary politics, but she did nothing to help her cause in this regard. Hey, by her own admission, the now infamous Katie Couric interview was a crash-and-burn affair. And if even 10% of what's been alleged about her lacking knowledge base is true, well, we have to wonder if she was busy going rogue when she should have been paying attention in the classroom. And then, what about her shocking resignation from the Alaska governorship? Let's face it, that's one of the oddest political happenings in memory. It's not going to be easy to explain away during a campaign. Now, I've been criticized for saying these things. Believe me, I have. You have no idea. But this is where quelling emotionalism is important. Because you can disagree with my estimation of the ex-governor, but again, the facts of her saga are secondary. Because simply wanting something badly won't make it a reality. Fair or not, like it or not, Palin has been quailed. And neither she nor the GOP, no matter what they do, will be able to repair her image sufficiently to make a run for the presidency viable.
But you know, Selwyn, people are going to tell you that Palin inspires passion, attracts crowds like no one else on today's political scene, but you're asking if she's really electable. I agree with you.
Now, I know many don't want to hear this, but let's be honest here. Why did we even start talking about Palin in the first place? Well, here's a hint. It's related to why people started talking about another former unknown, Barack Obama, in the first place. That is, she fits a profile. But also, as with Obama, many behave as if they're unaware of this factor. The truth is, though, most would be just as unaware of Palin if not for it. And what is this factor? Well, it's that she's a woman. That's the truth. Look, I'm sorry if this bursts some bubbles, but like Obama, Palin is a cultural affirmative action selection. No, not at all, Michael. But here's my point. Remember how the media glommed on to Obama largely because of his skin color? Well, John McCain chose Palin mainly because of her chromosome configuration. That's true. He wanted to not only invigorate his campaign, but also match the Democrat ticket's quota quality. And just as millions rallied around Obama because they wanted to make history and elect the first black president, millions of others just love the idea of supporting a woman because, well, it's oh so fashionable. It's dictated by what I call the new chivalry. Now, this doesn't mean Palin possesses no secondary qualifications. Sure, she doesn't look like Janet Reno. She doesn't require a bigamous relationship with a teleprompter to string two sentences together. She's somewhat magnetic, and she's fairly sound ideologically. But ask yourself this. Would she have been selected had her name been Scott Palin? Would she? Would she get the Elvis treatment? Think about that. And let's be honest with ourselves, because we all know the answer.
You're not suggesting that she wouldn't be any better than Obama?
Now, I've taken a lot of hits from the right for saying these things, and many people have misunderstood me, so let's be clear. I'm not saying we should let the lamestream media choose our candidates. I'm not saying I want a neocon Republican nominee. Some people have asked me about these things. What I'm saying is this. Some have said that Palin can overcome her quailing, and they point to Ronald Reagan as a precedent, because the media tried to demean his intellect, but he overcame it. But look, Reagan was a singular character. He possessed charm, oratorical skills, poise, and wit that almost no one, including Palin, could match. And while she's not the dolt the lamestream media has painted her as, really, folks, honestly, I don't believe she's a great leader who will take us to the promised land. I really don't. She's no Ronald Reagan. In fact, she's no Sarah Palin. And what I mean by that is, the reality of Palin just doesn't measure up to the myth. And I believe time will bear this out. Michael, thank you for having me on the show again. God bless you and your audience, and we all need to really pray hard. Our country needs it.
Selwyn Duke, thanks for being here on the Savage Nation.